an idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dark City. That means I'm being too loud when I can hear my voice being reflected back at me. I've got a tendency to shout. But welcome to Dark City Radio. You're listening to the Compassion Club show, this is. I'm hosting tonight with the rest of the crew as well. So it's me, Sarah, and there's Paul in Spain, there's Kevin in Manchester, and there's Kush back in England now, Justin, and there's Paul in Manchester. We're all interviewing Teresa today, so we're out numbering one. Four to one, Teresa.
I can handle it, love. I'm all right.
5-1, actually. Sorry, darling. I forgot to count myself. I'll come on your side today, then, darling. I'll come on your side.
Good. I need it.
We've got a great guest tonight. We've got Teresa Nelson, who does so much work. She's very humble as well, so she won't actually admit that she does anything, but she does so much work. She's not very well herself, which I'm going to talk to her a little bit about in a bit. Paul's just saying he's not taking sides. Well, no, nor am I. It was a joke.
He'd love me by the end of it and feel dead sorry for me, I guarantee you.
I would dare gang up on you, Teresa. But I've been really looking forward to this show. I have, because I really like it when I get people on that I really like. And I really like you. I've never physically met you. I've nearly met you, but not quite physically met you.
We have physically met. We met in United Patients meeting in Liverpool.
Yeah, in Liverpool, what, the United Patients meeting. That was one of the first ones I ever talked at. It was the second one I ever spoke at, and it had an amazing turnout, that one did, and we met there.
Oh, it scared me. I done a talk and it scared me.
There was over 400 people there.
It was amazing.
Anyway, Teresa does loads and loads and loads of stuff, so can we just ask you how you first got into cannabis?
Right, I was a heroin addict. For like 12 years, so I was sick. I had a lot of things wrong with me, but I didn't realize that I was actually that sick, because obviously medicating my heroin. So the time come, I got pneumonia and I had to come off it. So I come off it kind of thing, well, struggled a bit, but I kind of found weed, but I was just smoking it. I didn't actually realize the medicine side of it, but I was smoking Rocky, to be honest with you. But I was smoking that for a bit, and it, my chest started suffering, and I started suffering bad because, like I said, I've got 13 different illnesses. So a friend of mine kind of introduced me to bud. So I kind of started smoking bud, and then as I got further down the line, and my illnesses started to get worse, and I started to get worse, and with the problems started kicking in, I've stopped smoking Rocky. I started smoking more green and trying to work with stuff, and that's when I found kind of doing the pages and that helped me looking at what the patient on the pages, what we do, that helped me to find out what I needed to just strains, what I needed to take of a day or of a night, and I found the oil kind of thing. So I've been taking the oil now for, it's coming on nearly 4 years now, but I'm having to be careful with that, because obviously with your tolerance levels, as I get on in years, I'm going to get worse, because there's no cure for a few bits I've got. So I try to be careful with that. So I kind of go through, it helps me keep me out of a wheelchair, but I still do suffer with pain sometimes because I don't want to medicate on oil as much as you should. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sort of getting what you mean. Not totally, because to me it would seem like a better idea to actually put you on a proper course, because you've got quite, like Teresa's saying, she's got 13 different illnesses here, and some of them are incurable. Do you want to name some of them, if that's all right, Teresa?
Yeah.
So people know what you're talking about.
Yeah. HHT. Now, I can't really pronounce it properly. It's hereditary. I think it's hemoglobin. See, never, I get mixed up and confused with these names, but it's tangina tasia. What it is, it's like holes in your veins, like you can get burst blood vessels, like aneurysms, like you can pop in your chest. It's a killer. That's just kind of one part of the HHT. The other counterpart is memory loss. I speak back to front. I can't spell properly. I get confused with numbers and stuff. I can't go out on my own because I question everything. And then I get nosebleeds and stuff off that, so that's embarrassing. And you can get, believe it or not, your eyes can bleed. The red blotches what I have on my face and in my mouth and stuff, they can bleed. So just that on its own, the HHT, with no cure, family members have died at like 46, 47. There's no cure for that. That's just one. And then there's, I have degenerative joint disorder, kind of most of my joints, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and then I have nerve damage. It's going through my body now because I'm fine and I'm stiffening up more. Oh God, I hate my list. And then I have IBS, a hiatus hernia, and a stomach ulcer. And then I have depression as well, and some mental health issues due to past stuff through dark days and that. And I think that's about it, too. I'm not sure.
I was going to say, you sure you haven't missed anything else? Oh, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've got 9 things, so I've probably missed something off because you said 13.
There's probably other stuff I just can't. Oh, asthma. I've got asthma.
Okay.
I've got my chest as well. If I was a horse, I'd be shot in the head and put in the bin. That's why.
They do treat their animals. People do treat the animals a bit differently, don't they? So
yeah, of course. I think animals are fitter than me, some of them. But that's why I continue to take the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't, I would be in a wheelchair, because some days I really feel it.
So can I ask you some questions, right?
Yeah,
so
of course you can.
What was it like for you before you started taking the oil on your illnesses? What difference do you notice that, not just the oil, but what difference does cannabis actually make to your conditions then?
Well, I'll be honest, smoking buds and tobacco and that, it made a difference, but not as much. I was still suffering because of the amount of different illnesses I've got. It was kind of when I started first on the oil, I'll be honest with you. When I first had my first bit of oil, I was really sceptic and really, really, obviously with being an ex-heroin user, I was sceptic of any drugs and being a little naive and not really knowing what was what to do with cannabis, I was reluctant. So anyway, I took it the night, and then the next day it was like I was like 5 years younger. I don't remember much, but I do remember that to the point. And it was like, I don't know, it's going to sound strange, but it's the only way I can describe it. It's like the tin man, where he's being oiled up, all his joints. And it was like, woo, look, I move my arms and I move my legs. And because some days, like, I can get out of bed and my legs will just give away. I can drop. And it takes me like 20 minutes to get up, because my heart, the HHT gives me numbness as well. So my arms, I feel like weightlifters, like I've got weights on them. My legs, my hands go, my hands and my feet go numb. So I trip and fall a lot as well. So the oil, it did, and it does help a lot. it just worries me because of my tolerance levels. That is something that's always worried me. That's why I probably don't take as much as I should. But as me being me and it being me, my illnesses, I'm kind of on a day to day. I'm kind of going as I go, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Tolerance in what way? From a medical side or the tolerance towards the high?
Tolerance towards cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Because I read medically that really the tolerance to the high goes up, mm-hmm. while the tolerance to it as a medicine does not stop.
Yeah,
still carries on working. But some people say you're best off having one day off a month. You know, so
yeah, I believe that's it because I'm reluctant to take it every day because I think if I take it every day, I'm going to need it every day. So, and plus, I'll be frank, with being an ex-heroin user, I'm having to take that every day. I'm reluctant to take stuff every day because it kind of takes me back. I have other problems to do with stuff with my past. So, if I take one kind of maybe every 2 days, that'll still stay in my system for maybe 2 days. So depends on how sick or how stiff or sore I am. I can take one and then not take one for 3 days. But then on like the fourth day, I kind of like come down with a boom, if you understand what I'm saying. Because I've got that much, I can't do without the oil for more than maybe 5 days at a push. And then I feel 80, literally.
I'd be quite interested to see you on a proper course personally. Oh, my phone's ringing, but Paul's just put some freeze in there, so that means he wants to ask you something quickly anyway.
Come on,
Paul.
I don't know if I'm going to be quickly about it. I do relate to what you're saying regarding. I'm talking to myself here as well, Teresa, about our incorrect medication routine.
Yes, because
it is.
I agree. We
can say we here should not be hurting before we do something about it.
Yeah.
I've noticed that in myself. I really have.
Yeah.
And hearing you say it, it kind of brought it to the surface. You know, Sarah saying, well, I can't get why you... It's really difficult to let go of your illness. It's really difficult.
Do you find, because you take the oil, when you take the oil, I smoke as well because I used to smoke cigarettes, but my chest was bad, so I had to smoke tobacco and wood. I'm trying to smoke less tobacco, but because I take the oil, I find that smoking actual bud doesn't really touch the sides. Do you understand what I mean? I don't really get
yes. Yeah, look once you've used, just so you get, and the listeners get, I have an abundance of oil at my disposal. Okay? There's
I'll
no reason.
To you in future, then.
there is no reason. Well, come to Spain. And there is no reason why I would not be taking the oil.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. I do.
I haven't.
I do take it. Every time I make some for someone else, I always take some. I have never made an oil I've not tried myself. Ever.
I get help off someone else, you see, and it's very minimal. I have to kind of do it what I get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's ways to take small amounts of oil and spread them out over a longer period of time.
I do the coconut oil.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Just started that the last 2 weeks.
Yes, very good way of doing it. Very good way.
Sorry, you can't get away with me. I do find that is working better with the coconut oil.
You get a more accurate dose, but you are better using it on a more regular basis, like you would a medicine, you know, every morning, every evening, every night. And I'm terrible. I'm rubbish at it because I start to feel so bloody good. I forget. How broken I am, and I have to keep. And I've worked with other people, and we have to remind them.
I forget.
Just recently, a gentleman here in Spain, we've had to go slow down. He's really got a new lease for life, and has completely forgotten how poorly he actually is. But just let me get to the point. regarding the tolerance and the build-up of tolerance. Quite simply, in the world that I live in, and I know it's not the world that everyone lives in, I do appreciate that, we just mix you a new, a different profile of oil every 2 to 3 months, or maybe every month, because then the profile of cannabinoids would change with inside the oil. The percentage may remain the same, but the profile would change. By using 3 or 4, maybe 6 or 9 different plants to make one oil, and then changing that profile a few months later, that would stop you building up any of that kind of tolerance you would imagine, like you would with other drugs such as heroines.
I agree. But if you haven't got that resource, if you haven't got that to hand, if you have, see me personally, I only know a few people. I don't know anyone to, like you yourselves to help me in that way. I've been doing what I've been doing for, God, coming up to 4 years now, you know, and it took me a long time just to source a little bit of oil. So it's hard, and it's hard for other people as well who are sick.
Well, we're endeavouring to make that easier and easier and easier every day.
You do a great job and do great work.
I do get the plight of many people out there, and hopefully... Yeah. People listening to yourselves and listening to myself and Sarah this evening and the others on the panel tonight will get the importance of them working together.
Yeah.
You see, what I've just said is get your bud and your trim, whatever you've got, mix it together and then share it across region.
Yeah.
If you did that, then you could all... It's already
there, said that.
Teresa. It's just getting people to work together. There's so much fear out there, and rightfully so. I don't think people are paranoid, you know. They should be right to be fearful of the government and the authorities. You know, they do keep coming round and stealing your medication.
We tried to do that. See, I also used to know Merseyside Cannabis Supporters. Now they started to do that. They were going to do like trim to help people. They still do help people. That's the way it should be. Kind of these clubs getting all the trim, everything they can to help other people. Not enough people are doing it. Don't get me wrong. Some people start to grow and then they get greedy. Some people are helpers. Some people are takers. It just depends on how it goes, doesn't it?
And who it does, And trim is always going to be a lower quality than you would get made. Let's say here in Spain, not by everyone, I might add. Don't think just because somebody lives in Spain that they're going to be reputable. Check them out. And that goes for us. That goes for us. It doesn't matter who says it, check them out.
But you know, the problem is... nothing sometimes, isn't it?
Say again?
I'm saying sometimes with sick people trim and what they can get is kind of better than nothing.
There is no bad cannabis oil if it's made cannabis.
Isn't.
No, it's all good. But again, if we know what percentage of what is in there, we know the full profile, not all of it, but, you know, the THC, the CBD, and we know what's there, then we can dose accordingly. That's the only missing bit. That's the only missing
bit.
That's
what you got.
So, these things are going to get better slowly but surely. And hopefully...
I can see it will. I can see it will.
Yeah, you see, I know of groups of people who over the last 20 years have done just that in the UK.
Yeah.
But of course, these people and myself, when I was there with them, don't talk to people. Why would they talk to anybody? They're quite happy to get on with what they're doing, ticking away nice and quietly behind the scenes, helping people on a daily basis. And another reason why they keep very quiet is supply and demand. Yeah. It really is supply and demand. So even though they are aware that their cannabis oil that they make from trim is a lot lower grade than what you would get made from bud. From the likes of ourselves or Jeffrey Ditchfield here in Spain.
I like Jeff. I've met Jeff.
Yeah, because Jeff does the same. He sources good quality bud and makes oil from good quality bud. But in the UK to do that, with the risk that's involved. So the price of what you're paying is so high. That's horrible. Really what it's about. People think it's about medicine, and it isn't. It's about money. That's all it's about.
Well, that's why people get greedy, isn't it? There's being a medical user and going for your own use, and then there's people who want to grow and then want a fucking drug deal and want to charge people stupid amounts of, being honest, myself at the minute, I'm finding it hard to even get a half ounce of weed. I'm having to buy shitty 20 bags of these bastard kids. I'm sorry, kids have to do something, but I'm paying my money for 3 bags for £50, and it's not even decent stuff most of the time. I did used to grow. I grew up until this Christmas, but in between everything else, it's not worth it. I couldn't go to prison to grow weed to medically for myself because it wasn't worth the risk. But now I'm suffering because I can't afford to buy weed off these shitty ass kids, but I can't afford to grow it because I could go to prison.
Do you know what the irony is? It and I do get you the shitty 20 bag.
Oh my heart goes out to you.
I know. But you know, without them shitty kids, there wouldn't be no medical cannabis out there at all.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That the kids, the youth,
but these kids are killing each other as well.
This out there, Teresa. I hope they're getting what we're saying.
But these kids are killing each other over 20 bags of fucking green as well.
If we could unite them together, then they wouldn't need to fight over scraps in the world.
Do you know what? Where I'm from, right, and I don't tell lies, I always say to the kids who grow, listen, any trim, anything you've got, throw in my back garden, give me. I can give it, I can make it, but no one does it. So it's like, apart from putting it in the echo or putting it on my window, any trim, please. You can't really do much. I feel useless sometimes, but I kind of do what I do and what I can.
I'd love to be
able to help more.
Like I say, we should get where I made my point, if we can, that it is vitally important that you start to medicate yourself correctly. Yes. And myself. I'm talking to both of us here.
You keep telling me and I'll keep telling you then.
Yeah. And you know, I've done a lot for a lot of groups and you know, out there. And I'm sure if they could man up a little bit or woman up a little bit, then
doing nothing wrong. I'm just smoking weed. That's all I do. I'm smoking weed because I need to smoke weed for my pain. A lot of people out there are scared. They're scared to even say they smoke weed because of the stigma, the way people will have them. I've got a son. Now, I stopped growing because I didn't want social services to take my son off me if he found out. Now, that's ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? My fucking son's in no danger because I'm medically using cannabis.
Oh, he is.
Makes me blood boil. Do you know what I mean?
No, he is. We know cases where there hasn't been a case because eventually...
That's the shite. No kids are in danger.
They've gone out and there has not been no court case, so they've not been found guilty. There's been no charges actually withheld, and the social services have still gone in and removed the children.
Well, yeah.
We know it happens. And you've done the right thing. Yeah. You're a mother with a child. What else are you supposed to do? The crazy situation is you have to live in pain on prescription drugs, which in a lot of cases are not benefiting you because, you know, you don't want your child to be taken off you by social services.
If I didn't take cannabis oil at this point, I wouldn't be able to even get up in the morning. Now my son is 8. Now he's only young. He needs me still, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
I know for a fact be straight. Cannabis oil to me is like gold, and I've always said it. As much as I can get my hands on to last me for as long as I'm gonna be here, I'll be happy. How important it is to keep me out of a wheelchair just to be able to hold a cup of tea. I know that might sound strange to people, but that's how bad I am some days. I can't even roll a joint. I can't even get out of bed some days. But if without cannabis oil, I'd be knackered. I'd be a slobbering mess. I get
We've got to learn to recover, you know, Teresa. We've got to learn to recover. I'm the same. I'm kind of, you know, some mornings I wake up and I'm like a burnt old lady.
Yeah.
Contorted. And I don't need to get like that anymore.
I
really don't need
to get like that.
I've been to England and ridden a motorcycle on the roads and passed me CBT just to prove to myself that I can recover. And I've not fully recovered. I'm far from it. I have to admit that. And we have to show
lessons. I'm chocking because I'm
We have to show people that we can not only get better, but recover. We can recover. what we are learning now is changing the way the world looks at medicine completely.
Definitely.
And I think that's a nice lead back into Sarah when we speak about the world of medicine.
Don't. The amount of tablets I actually get and take, it's stupid. My liver, my kidney, the rest of my body actually suffers more with this medication. It's ridiculous. I go around in circles, and because I've got that much wrong with me, there's no answers.
Question? What sort of side effects have you had then from your pharmaceutical drugs?
Oh, Sarah. Like Dihydrocodeine. If I'm in bad pain, I have to take them. I've got out of bed once and nearly fell over me landing because I've only got like a rail because I've gone dizzy. I sway because of my illnesses. I sway anyway. They make me feel really sick. It depends on how many I take, and it depends on because I get tramadol. I get codeine sulfatase. I also get automorph. It depends on how bad I am. The automorph, it makes me feel sick. It's really horrible. I hate taking them. I only take them when I'm bad. But when I started on, you know, a couple of years ago, when I first started, I flew. I was like a gymnastic again. But now, as I'm getting older and my body's getting worse, I am deteriorating. I'm finding I'm having to take more of what I've got, if you understand what I mean. But in between being scared of running off on one and then getting me, and I am listening to people on these tolerance levels, it's just one of my big worries, and it has been for years, of like, if I'm come 3 years down the line and I can't actually find an oil, what's going to help me? I know that's, do I sound like I'm off my head? But I just don't want to end up getting worse down the line and then nothing's going to touch the pain.
It sounds like you're being very honest about addiction. That's what it sounds like. Not off your head at all. Very honest.
Yeah, it does. It's always worried me.
You're doing really well. I happen to agree with Paul, though. I reckon if you had a proper course of cannabis oil, I think the difference it would make would be absolutely massive. But I think with other support for your body as well. But I've spoken to you a bit about this anyway, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to speak a little bit more about it and see what we can do.
Yeah.
So is it because of your own illnesses and your own experiences with cannabis that gets you so driven? Because I know you say you don't do a lot, but considering that you have got all these illnesses and you have got a lot of pain to deal with, and you know you have got a lot of health issues, you've also got a very young son. I have
got a house full.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 children of my own.
Yeah.
A grandson, a son. I have a daughter, can't step daughter, took under my wing. She's got 3 kids who call me nanny. They're here a lot. I have a big family and I love my family. But I'm driven because when I first started actually smoking weed, I didn't realise the actual what it would do and how it would help. It was only when I become more involved with a friend, it kind of knocked me up a bit to. Not because I wouldn't say I'm fully knowledgeable on it, because I don't think anyone really is, but as I become more knowledgeable and learn more, I learned that it does help and it is going to help me. And being sick and also seeing other people sick, and once I started doing the pages, I talked to sick people. I'll be honest, I have a lot of people who message me, can you help me this? And I can't help anyone. I can only direct them to other people. I get a lot of that. But as of now, I suppose as well, I sound silly as well, but I suppose with being a heroin user, as I've kind of become clean, and I was always a decent person because I am a decent person, I've got a good heart, but with doing stuff like that, it kind of like just knocks you a little bit, and it knocks kind of the way people look at you. So I kind of think now, well, I'm a good person, I do nothing but help people. So when I die, I'm going to go to heaven with a better look.
No,
I just like to help. I found my vocation when I started doing the pages. I love to do what I do. I wish I could be a caregiver. I wish I could help other people myself. I find it so sad when I can't help people who've got cancer and MS and other serious illnesses. It breaks my heart, but you can't always help everyone in the world. Otherwise, it'd be a brilliant world if you all spent to read. That would be fantastic.
You've helped loads of people, though. This is where you're underestimating yourself, and we often do, you know. We often underestimate what we've actually contributed to the world.
I think it's because I sit behind a computer. I don't really know much.
And you neglect yourself as well. You know, we all do. I do. I neglect myself. I neglect my surroundings. I get sucked into what I'm doing. So easy. But you do loads. What are some of the pages that you do manage? Get a rough idea. I know you work with the Normal Women's Alliance. That's where I work a lot with you, because I'm the Yorkshire rep for Normal Women's Alliance.
I love the ladies, love them.
With Becky, obviously. Me and Becky share that position.
Yeah. I love the ladies. Joe, Leslie, the Grace, Alexis. I met them in Liverpool. At the smoke they had for mid-side cannabis courses, and they were great. And I've got to be honest, right, when I met them, I think that gave me a little kick up the bum, because I do a lot of pages, but these are not my pages. I help a lot of other people, and I post in a lot of pages, but I wanted to kind of help, really, really help, do something positive and real. So when I met Joe and Leslie and them, I thought, no, I want to be on the Alliance. I want to be able to help. That's why I've done the talk for the United Patients Alliance. I want to get out. I want to tell my story, preach to other people, and tell people what's going on. And cannabis is a lot better than medication when you're getting off your bloody doctors. Because medication off the doctors, for instance, someone I know, they take painkillers. Now, they take painkillers for depression. But the painkillers for depression gives them pains in their heart. So they get pains in the heart and then they're taking painkillers. So it's a vicious circle. It's ridiculous. Doctors are just giving these tablets out like the sweets, but won't give Sativax. Oh. My doctor will give me anything except Sativax. And I've been asking now for 10 years. It's ridiculous.
A lot of people find it very hard to get Sativex, though, don't they? You know, it's very expensive that they can't, they feel like they can't justify, I think, prescribing it or something. But there is plenty of justification in prescribing it because of the lack of side effects and because of how great it is as a painkiller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you find cannabis helps your depression then? Do you find it helps your depression a lot?
It does terrible. I still have dark times, obviously, because of a lot of problems at night times and the worst kind of things. But I think it depends on kind of what I'm smoking as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think depending on the type of weed you're smoking as well, it's the how you're feeling, kind of, because I get palpitations and stuff as well. I can't have any stimulants, so it sounds mad, but if I smoke, I smoked Kush the other night, and then after about 2 minutes, I started getting palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, weird. So certain kinds of strains do different things to me. Like, for instance, Isolator, that makes me sleep. Nothing else like makes me sleep like that. It's mad. I do need to kind of sort my oil situation out. take it regular.
Yeah,
crazy though.
A lot of different strains do a lot of different things, you know, and that's one of the things about with it being legal. It's not always easy in England anyway to get all these different strains.
Oh, it's easy cheese, yeah.
Yeah, same here. A lot of cheese is here and City Blues, because I'm in Sheffield, aren't I? So.
Oh, Liverpool. It's mainly cheese. I don't like cheese. Blue cheese, I don't mind, but it's mainly haze. But I've got to be honest, and I've actually just had this conversation with a friend of mine. I find haze is very strong. Now, I'm a Scouser. We call it green crack here because it's very strong. I think haze kind of messes with your brain a little, because when you haven't, I think it sends you into a little bit of a angry head. I've seen it through a few people, so I've seen it for me own eyes, but haze is kind of powerful. It's really strong. I am actually smoking at the moment. I like haze. I like a strong kit because of all my illnesses. But haze is, it's not really good for you, because it's like the way you get a stone over in the morning. It's like that every morning if you're smoking at night. What can I say? I like green.
Well, just as a side note, I'm going to Green Seeds Alicante today. On the way back from the airport, I purchased myself some Green Seeds Super Silver Haze. I would like to go down the list that was there, but to be honest, there was that much available, that much choice available. I can't remember them all.
I haven't got a clue. I've always said I just smoke the shit. I don't care what it is, as long as it's not cheese, just kiss it.
For me, it's a real refreshing thing, and I hope it gives a lot of people hope. The fact that there you go, Kush has just put one up. There's about both sides were full today, Kush. Even the right hand side of the blackboard had different buds on it. And there must have been 12, 13 different buds for sale this morning. So really good choice there. And hopefully that it shows that what could very easily be happening in the UK very quickly. Private medical association dealing with private people on medical grounds, solely on medical grounds. Yeah, this could flip in very quickly. But of course, we've got all these people running around screaming about Big Pharma and Glaxo Welcome and GM Pharmaceuticals saying, oh, they're going to take over. But who else is ready to provide such services? Is there anybody else there ready to do it? Well, the people and governments of the world would say to you, no, there isn't. That is the only choice. I would dispute it right here and now. Yeah, them kids on your street with them 20 bags, I'd have no problem running such a business, eh, Teresa?
Yeah, definitely.
None whatsoever. We've already got the manpower. We've already got... Give them a job. Give those children a job. Make it legal. Get them paying tax to the government.
I take the bikes off them and give them roller boots instead.
Give them all
some proper wear.
Yeah, take away the gun and give them the green. That's what I say.
Skins in the root. it has gone mad. It's ridiculous. Over weed. When you can easily grow it, anyway, it's a plant, for God's sake. It's crazy.
It's supply and demand, unfortunately, like it anything is. Else. And we mustn't forget that illegal drugs, so-called, make the banks more money than anything else on earth, including weapons.
And gullible
people. Weapons is the biggest business on earth, I grant you. Yeah. But the banks make more out of illegal drugs than anything else. So they've got more to lose, and they seem to be the backers of most governments and corporations and so forth. So, well, jobs for the boys, I suspect. jobs for the boys. I suppose their gang's bigger than our gang, and they can bully us.
Yeah.
And they do. you're being bullied into a situation, heard it from yourself, unfortunately, yeah. And I can't see what else you can do. First and foremost, you're a mother.
Yeah.
Bang.
That's my favorite.
You know, you should never be put in that situation. Every single man and woman, but men, it's who I'm talking to, with an outer backbone, should actually be doing something about it. Because we can all do a bit more, including myself.
Yeah, fucking hell. You've got a little room in your cupboards, a light, a plant in, two plants, you know what I mean? That's what people should be doing.
Everyone.
If I could grow, I would. I'd grow and fucking help everyone I could. Because that's what it should be. It doesn't take much, it's not hard. It's just a plant. Grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Help.
Yeah, like I say, they don't even need to have a cupboard.
I get frustrated because I can't.
They don't need to have a cupboard. They don't need to have all that equipment. They could just put one autumn flower in a plant pot in the front window. Everyone. What are they going to do?
I've done that as well, yeah. I've grew outdoors as well. To 12 them outdoors, in a cupboard. It's easy. It is easy. When people go on about feeds and all this stuff, I believe just water them. They're just plants. Rain feeds them. Just give them water and let them grow. It's not hard. It's just a plant.
Yeah, you get the, I mean, and people go about the right strains. Like I say, in the UK, nearly all of them will grow. I mean, obviously, some of them are the supermodels, need greenhouses or... But, you know, most of the seed companies will make it quite clear. Very easy to do. And if you could get people locally producing clones and then growing second-year plants outdoors, you'd have an abundance of crop.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger blooms, you know, higher yield of everything. Everything would improve. So, you know, why aren't people doing it? Because of the fear. Because they're scared. Because they have been bullied by a gang. That's all they are. A gang that have bullied people in the UK under the disguise of government and police and authority.
Fucking big bullies.
They are bullies. That's what they are. And we have to remain calm and collective and have to listen to good people like yourself who are struggling every day.
Mm.
Every day. So I commend you for the work that you do. Don't tell me you're a keyboard warrior, okay? Because there are a lot of keyboard warriors.
No, I wouldn't say
that. And they're called that because they can get up and do something. This is never pointed at people that can do no more. Never, you know, and it should not be. So, and the fact that you do so much, that you do so much from there.
I can't believe the amount of pages.
To shame even more.
I can't believe the amount of pages I actually run. And none of them are my own. Honestly, oh no, I'm a liar. I've got a dating page. It's just, that was just stupid. That was a stupid thought when I was stoned about 4 years ago. But I just like to help people. And I get bored, do you know what I mean? My son goes to school. It also works, and I'm sitting here on my own. I've got my time sitting here is nothing to go and help other people. A sick person who just needs to talk. I'm doing nothing. I'm a gabber. Don't get me wrong. I can talk the leg off an iron table, but I will listen to someone if they need me. That's just what I like to do.
That's an important gift, though, an important tool to listen to people, though. It really is an important thing. A lot of people don't know how to listen to people. They just talk at people or get distracted.
Yeah, I do that as well.
Yeah, I do. I'm terrible for distracting myself as well. I'm really bad. But, yeah, it's interesting to hear your story, and because, like I keep saying, you do a lot, and you are one of these people that under talks about themselves, really. My microphone's going a bit funny then. I don't know if you can hear it whistling.
I can.
Yep.
You do quite a few groups as well, don't you? You monitor and some of them as well. And
do you know, to be honest, I'm kind of lost, right, because I kind of get these requests and then it's kind of, well, I don't know if I'm kind of an admin on the page or I'm just posting stuff, so I kind of go a bit mad now and again when I see something interesting or an argument. Then I kind of post it everywhere. But there is loads. I do the Marijuana Mansion. Now, I started that with a lad. He's a good friend now. But I started that like 4 years ago. Now, that has 600 likes when I started. Now, it's got nearly 8,000. Now, they're all around the world. I do Reefer Beats, which is a music page. That's not mine. That's a friend's. And then the Cannabis for Women. I do that for a friend. Amsterdam Coffee Shop. Like-minded people. Oh, God. There's a funny one, Doobs and Boobs, which is very funny. And you can tell just by the title of it. It's hilarious. Got loads of them, loads of clubs. Loads of clubs I'm in. I try to share the clubs because at the end of the day, we're all in different parts of the country and different parts of the world, but we've all got one goal, to make weed legal. So I like to share all the clubs I come across and I share them all over the world because we are kind of trying to do this all together. And that's kind of basically, but as long as I can do what I'm doing, I will do it. And when I go, hopefully, when my daughter passes a driving test, and I can get out a little bit more. I'm hoping to go to a few more of these picnics and get my face out there a little bit and help a bit more and do a few more talks and that.
There was a lot of picnics on this year. The UK cannabis movement activists really got together a lot this summer, more so than normally from what I
know. It breaks my heart. I sit in the kitchen. I've got to go and go.
I didn't go to too many. I went to the one in Leeds, but when I got there at the same time as the police, and so I left. But I should have stayed around, really, because a lot of them did stay around. But for one reason or another, we thought it would be best for us to leave at that particular time, so we did.
Yeah.
But the majority of the other ones, but they, like I said, they all went back and they stayed there, so they ended up sitting there for most of the day anyway and carried on. Kush was there. And so I was good at that. I miss Kush. But there was great ones. There was the camping weekend up in Teesside. That one looks like amazing. There's been loads down in Portsmouth on the beach.
I know so many people on Facebook, but it's only on Facebook. Do you know what I mean? It's frustrating because I can't travel on the train. I can't because I get lost and I'm so unsure. But I want to get out more. I know so many people all over the country. It'd be great. Do you know what I mean? I think I should start my own smoke in my house. I call it Miss T Smoke Room.
That would be great. Because loads of people know who you are. I remember you from when we first started the Dark Seat Compassion Club campaign.
Yeah.
I remember you were having, from the mansion, actually, Miss T from the mansion.
Yeah. I guess some awkward questions about that, Miss T, you know. I wish I hadn't put Miss T, but it's kind of stuck. You can understand the questions I kind of get. Miss T. Go
on,
fuck
well, no, I'm a
it's
bit...
just a name.
What sort of questions do you get, or are they rude?
Are you being kinky because you miss T? And I'm like, no. It's just, I found the name because I went to college. I was doing sign language in college, and the girls used to call me Miss T because I'm a helpful person. So when I kind of started on the pages, my friend said to me, call yourself Miss T. So it's stuck, but people take it like rude or it's not. It's just Miss T. Just me.
People just let their imaginations run wild. They
are no sir.
You know, it can be over anything, can't it? If it wasn't about Miss T, it'd be about something else.
I don't mind them the fantasizing over me. I bother about that. I'm only joking. Anybody else want to ask me anything?
No, just a side note that my imagination continually runs wild. That's the only thing my imagination does.
Man doesn't shut up.
It runs wild. But yeah, and I think it's a brilliant thing that we can actually have an imagination and actually make some of them real. Yeah. It is all about making our dreams real.
It is. So, I'd love to be able to grow. I'd love to be legalised, grow my own weeds. At least I know what I'm growing. I know what I'm making, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, my dream is to do it in the UK. My dream is to do it in the UK, to be able to grow medical cannabis, produce oil, just like I do here in Spain, for people who are members of a group or a club or an association, And do just the same in the UK without the issues. That's my dream, to be able to achieve that.
I get people asking me all the time for help. Now, I haven't got, actually, I'm not saying support, but there's no one who I can go, listen, there's this person here who's got this, can you help them? Do you know what I mean? I know that sounds silly, but other organisations have kind of got a lot of other stuff on, if you understand what I mean. So it's kind of who to contact and how I help them. I'd like to be able to help people a lot more.
Yeah, well, like I say, for us at the moment, to guarantee helping anyone, they have to fly to Alicante.
Yeah.
Then from leaving the airport, providing they've got the correct paperwork, they've gone through the protocol, or they've got other paperwork, you can do it without going through the Dark City protocol if you've got, like I say, the right paperwork. Okay. And you can have cannabis oil or whatever you desire on medical grounds within 10 minutes of leaving the airport.
Okay. That's interesting to know. I was going to actually ask you how you do work along that lines.
Through association.
Yeah.
Green Seeds Alicante. You can literally go in and become a member there and get.
So can I ask you, if I was to just like come over to see you, so would I be able to come over and that would happen with me, and then I'd be able to, would I have to come over every couple of months?
I could say yes, but you would have to fill in as a medical user. You see, you have to have medical evidence to prove that you are a medical user. Otherwise, you would need to have an NIE. And we would encourage people to get an NIE anyway. But accept that getting an NIE can take up to 28 days. And if a medical user is here in Spain and they need to get cannabis, I mean, just listening to yourself, that here in Spain would put you and create a public risk. Buying cannabis off the street from teenagers would put teenagers and yourself at risk. So it would be a civil responsibility to make sure that you go to a recognised legal association where you can get what you require in perfect safety with no risk to anyone.
That's something I always say to people. Don't ever buy...
This is the law here in Spain. It's about public safety. This is what a lot of people miss. If you were to live here and grow your own cannabis in private, mm-hmm. there is no... It's not legal or illegal. There is no law.
Yeah.
It's a non-arrestable offence. It's not even an offence. Right. So it's so difficult to explain.
Anyone got a spare room handy?
Yes, there are. Okay. Sarah, we have about... Great show, by the way. Thank you, Sarah, Teresa. You've got about 2 minutes, Sarah, if you want to close up.
Yeah, I noticed I've got 2 minutes. Teresa, would you like to give any details if anyone wants to contact you or anything, any of your pages? Just write to one of them or find you on Facebook?
To be honest, people know me. I'm a Gabby Git. I'm always on my pages. They always know, because when I speak to people, I always say, I'm always here if you need me. I might be able to get back to you kind of at that point. I'm now more so now. I'm checking me others on my inboxes and stuff, because I am getting a few more people asking me and stuff. So, yeah, I'm always there for everyone. If I've got the time, I'm there.
Me too.
You do great work, love. You do some great. All the ladies do. We all do good work. Let's just hope it's going to come to it. And I've got a feeling it will do pretty soon. Too many things are happening. Too many voices are getting out there. Too many people are getting heard. The amount of people now, it's escalating. I can see it being legalised very soon.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
We've got a great guest coming on next week, Cannabis Free. There was a bit of confusion about when he was coming on. We thought he was coming on last week and he thought he was coming on this week, but now he's coming on next week. So
we're all stoners.
So we'll get that poster shared out. It's up on the radio. webpage. We haven't got a guest for the following weekend yet, following week yet. So if anybody does know anyone or does anybody wants to tell their story, please get in touch with me. I'm Sarah Davis on Facebook, or you can get through to us on Dark City. You can Skype in on Bob's Backyard. If you want to come on and tell your story or your experiences with cannabis, we're always interested in hearing them, and so is everyone else. So I look forward to seeing you all next week. And thank you very much, Teresa, and all the rest. Thank you all for being here and putting your 2 pence worth in. So thank you all, and I'm looking forward to next week. So see you all later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, we've just got 30 seconds left there. What? You're a bit jumping the gun. I just want to say to everybody down at Green Seeds, Alicante, down there to Frederick as well, who we'll be hearing from on the show in the coming weeks. So, yeah, for me, thank you very much. And, yeah, we'll catch you next week. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.